It's a Daily Talk Show episode 273.
It's nice to have someone smarter than us. Well, it's not hard, actually. We've always got Mr. 97 here, so he's smarter than us. We've got someone smarter than Mr. 97.
Dr. Kim Lamb.
Welcome.
Our second doctor. What is it? Is a prefix? Is that what it's called?
It's a prefix. Okay. No. It's a I don't know.
I actually don't know what a prefix means.
A prefix, I think, is the thing that, you know, you can select Lord, Doctor.
I thought a prefix is like re or sub or like that little word in front of a whole word.
You're smarter than us. That's probably
We've got correct. Google in front of us.
Oh, yeah. That's true. We could look it up.
We do. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
That's okay. You're our second guest while filming. Is that correct?
Yeah. We've had Christian. We had Christian Howell.
Yeah.
And that's it. So no pressure.
You would have actually been our first guest had we sort of had you last week on that really, really hot day.
Yes, the day I bailed.
I'm glad you did because it was 40-something degrees in here and we were sweating. Today is nice.
So who did you interview on that day?
Josh and I.
We didn't have to worry about it. Yeah, it was good. But so the doctor bit, that's because you studied veterinary. What do you study when you're a vet?
Well, my degree's official name is Bachelor of Science in Veterinary Biology and Bachelor of Veterinary Medicine and Surgery. It's just Bachelor of Vet Science, but just that Murdoch University version of it gave it lots of letters.
And so does it, being a vet, are they all surgeons?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. But not all specialists.
I was on the phone for 55 minutes trying to get car insurance yesterday. It took literally to get the policy. I'm not there to try to, you know, kick the tires. Literally just want to sign up. 55 minutes from the time of the call to the end of it. And one of their questions was, what do you go by? And they're like, sir, doctor. I was like, what if I just say doctor? Is that how you get away with it? Can I get away with it?
You could, but then they'll look at your ID and all that and just waste more time. Won't.
Oh, you legit have it on the license to say doctor?
Not my driver's license. On something that's there? My library card?
Yeah.
Library card. That seems perfect.
I could forge a library card pretty easily.
Be who you want to be in the world today.
Yeah, true.
Nothing's true.
And it's very true. It's not true.
I love you, Amy. It is true. Yeah. My wife.
But the... So... Did you know that you wanted to be a vet? Because now you're doing illustrations and stuff.
Yes.
You got this whole.
I think it's many little girls' dreams growing up to be a vet one day. I think in Grey's Anatomy, the main actress even said every little girl's dream to be a vet. Like it's a thing.
Yeah.
So I followed that mainstream dream. So I think I actually said I wanted to be an artist or a musician first before I realized vet was out there and it was conditioned in me that it was prestigious and stable and secure by society and my parents. And then I thought vet's the best thing to do. So
well, you did go to a school you told us that is like you need to get into that school.
Yeah, so I went to a selective school, government school, Mac Robertson Girls High School. And it's got a reputation, if you know.
Are there any famous people, like who's sort of, what's the alumni? That's not even a thing that we say at school.
I don't follow.
You're not a part of the newsletter or anything. I'd love to, like my school, I felt like wasn't like a, what do they call it? Low socioeconomic school. So we had great camera equipment because obviously they were investing into it. So it was great. We had like new iMacs and stuff. But the problem, I don't feel like we've necessarily...
Well, I have alumni from my primary school, which is St. Dominic's Primary School in Broadmeadows. And a famous alumni there is Eddie Maguire.
Ah. Really? Yeah. Was that a big thing when you were there? Was Eddie already popping?
Yes. So he was a reference point.
Oh, really? Yeah,
people told us that's where Eddie Maguire went to primary school because it was Broadmeadows, a low socioeconomic area. Yeah. And on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I remember him. Like he had a contestant who had this magic trick of knowing every single Malway number, the Malway being those like old maps that had all of Metro Melbourne on it.
I moved to Sydney. I still thought it was called Melways. And then I realised that it's Melbourne Ways, Sidways, Brisway. It's not the same. I was still thinking Sydney was Melways.
Yeah, yeah. So the contestant knew every suburb's Malway number, index number.
Wow.
And so he said, what's Broadmeadows? Because he knew it was number 6. So when she said number 6, he could confirm that she knew.
And have you ever done the go back to school thing and give a speech?
Not at primary school, but at high school, yes.
Yeah. What was the experience like? Were you triggered?
I was. Because I saw lots of faces looking back at me that looked just like me not too long ago.
So. Yeah.
But is that sad? Is that like...
they were Asian faces.
Well, it's like I don't know what my life is going to look like down
the path. Just that poignancy of how the naivety was very vivid, and the hope and the uncertainty in their eyes, but then also that they... I don't know, they were very YOLO and like they didn't take everything too seriously, but at the same time they were very anxious because they had exams on, and that was a stressful place.
Do you remember how long you spoke for?
Probably only 20 minutes.
Yeah, because I was asked to speak at my old school. It was like a graduation. It was like a awards night, and they didn't give me any limit. And so
that's probably number one move if you ever hire Josh.
Yeah, limit. Always set a limit. And so I spoke for
unless you want value, then don't set a limit.
Yeah. How did you know when to stop?
Well, I don't. And
well,
so
you were told to stop.
No, it was when I like ran out of things to say, sort of thing. And so it went for 40 minutes, and only meant to be 15 or whatever.
Did you have a theme or anything?
No, I just remember it was sort of like you can do it too. And my last slide, Tommy and I always laugh at this. It's just horrendous and sort of inappropriate, and I wouldn't do it nowadays. But that year I had – so it would have been – it wasn't even that long ago. This is like 2011 I did this. But I'd just been to Thailand, and I rode on an elephant, which I probably wouldn't do now. And so the last photo was me on an elephant, and I was like, this is what I've been able to do in a year. Like, I've traveled the world.
And you can do this too.
You could do this too. It was so awkward.
It was a motivational speech.
Yeah, and I had one crazy parent, mum, come after me. That was amazing. Like, don't worry about what everyone else says. That was so energizing. I was like, what do you mean? What is everyone else saying? and then it was, working out the fact that maybe I'd spoken too long. But whose fault that was, I don't know.
I would never be asked back to my school. I don't even know if they would remember who I am.
No, they'll like definitely.
Maybe, but for the wrong reason.
Well, if they knew what you did now, I'm sure they'd ask you back.
Yeah, I'm fucking flying now, aren't I? Look at me now. You've
got your own podcast.
My own podcast, guys, in my own studio.
Sucked in.
You turned that into a confident, functional human being. That's an achievement.
You're always confident.
You saying like looking at these kids with this naivety that they have, it's like I think it serves us for a period of time, and then life can either taint or the sort of you start experiencing life and then it goes away. But it's so great for a period of time to get you to make the moves.
But are you saying naivety goes away? Because I feel still very
naive. To some degree, I think like naivety about – like I look at it how I'm doing and I see it with like young people making videos, and I just see all their shortcomings because I've done all of that. But they're still positive about getting through it. Mm. Yeah. I'm just like, now with my knowledge, it sort of slows you down. And so I'm in this battle of like, how do I still be the cowboy? How do I still ride the horse? But also...
But you're so triggered. You've fallen off the horse so many times. So you know you've fallen off at every single stage.
Yeah.
So then it becomes less fun because you're like, that's what I was wondering is... I feel like I've got anxiety based on things that have happened or whatever, where I'm like, oh, it's going to happen again. When you get like older, I wonder if I'm going to get like 50.
You mellow out.
Do you reckon you just stop caring?
I think a lot of people mellow out because you have less energy to care.
Yeah.
And you've just been through it so many times, you might get desensitized or you just know the patterns.
And so how
but
long,
not everyone.
How long did it take you to do your vet thing?
5 years.
5 years. And was that whole time, were you like, did you start to question that path or you're on board?
I was pretty on board. It was so intense. I feel like I didn't have any time to second guess it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was over, like the timetable was just very dense and it was physically and emotionally and mentally demanding. I think I just had that short-term goal of getting through it and passing and not really thinking beyond that.
Do people specialize in the native animal, like do you specialize in something?
You can eventually, not during the degree, but afterwards you can do a master's in conservation or get more experience in
like reptiles. Do you know much about reptiles?
I know a bit about reptiles, but
I had a blue tongue lizard.
I wouldn't ask me specific questions.
I had a children's python. It died.
What's that? A children's python?
Yeah, they're called children's python.
How'd it die?
Well, I picked essentially the runt of the litter. It was the coolest looking one, but it was also the most timid. And then my brother got the other one, which was just pretty, you know, up and about. And then the one died, and they just said, "Look, it was the runt of the litter just died."
So mysterious reasons, because you don't die because you're a runt.
Well, there's we went away.
We went away and didn't feed it.
There's a real reason. My eldest brother was looking after it, but it just stopped eating. So what do you do? Like, you got a little python.
It got sick then.
It must have been sick. Got the flu. Couldn't handle it. Died.
Do you get many?
But it was in the same enclosure, so there was two snakes. Like, one died, one didn't.
Yeah, it might have had some internal medical issue.
I mean, we're not willing to invest in the snake. We paid $380 for it anyway, so there's a bit of money spent.
Do you have animal insurance for your
cat? I do.
Okay. Because people get crazy, but, like, I saw a guy who was doing these YouTube videos and he started doing heaps of sponsored content and people were criticizing, like, "Man, you've sold out." And then he came out and said, like, "Hey, like, my dog's got cancer," and he was doing it all, which is like a very good reason to be doing sponsored content.
Yeah.
But is that a the cost involved, is that the same in Australia? Like, you know how they talk about
the cost of pet insurance?
Not pet insurance, but if something goes wrong, you know, like in the US, something goes wrong, like if you break a leg or something, I feel like you can get like $1 million or some shit.
For humans?
Yeah.
Vet bills are, I think the reputation for vet bills is that they're really expensive because there's no Medicare and a lot of people don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. And it's – so you don't get anyone helping you pay that gap.
Yeah, sure.
But vets don't make much money either because their overheads are really high. Yes, I will dispel that myth here.
Oh,
vets
really? I assume anyone with a doctor in front of their name is a baller.
I mean, I've just got the gripe with dentists, really. They're the ones who charge a shitload. And you don't get rebate.
Yeah, this is so, sort of a rant episode as well.
Is this all your doctors. Soapbox?
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I'm here.
And they do such a good job.
I know, they do a great job.
You need them.
Yeah.
We need them. And
my mother, they need to get paid well so they can do the job well.
Yeah. But are they? I feel like they're the ones that probably make quite a bit of cash.
Yeah, their business model's effective and fair and good.
Just a bit vets aren't.
What's the overheads of a vet?
So imagine you're running a whole hospital, like Royal Melbourne Hospital, but a miniature version of that.
Okay.
So the size of this studio, but it's got almost everything that a hospital has. So it's got x-ray, dental x-ray machine, a normal x-ray machine. It's got a whole drug dispensary. It's got a surgery in it, consultation rooms, pathology room, like everything.
Like taking blood and shit.
Yeah, everything.
The reason I know about this Kim is because I've watched enough action films where they break into a vet clinic.
Oh, for the horse.
Like what? They've got the vet and then he's been shot and then like, "I need you to stitch me up. I'm a vet." Yeah, do it.
What is that?
How many action films?
I've seen a lot.
No,
but which one? 97, you've seen, haven't you, mate?
I've only seen Walking Dead with Herschel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one of them. That's one of my references. That's
one more and I'll be happy.
Hamish Blake was in a movie...
Is it the New Zealand one? Oh, no, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that was at my ex-vet clinic.
Interesting. So if I got shot right now, you could do something. You could save my life?
Do something. Call an ambulance.
I could reduce your risk of dying, but I might not save your life.
You could probably give me some painkillers too.
And I'd probably get sued afterwards for not saving your life.
They get it hard, the vets. Look, just trying to save people.
Did you have a clinic?
No.
So how far along did you get before?
I was an employee. Mm-hmm. So I think if you want to be more lucrative as a vet, you specialise or you open a clinic or you work with government. Mm-hmm. So
what does a government need? All the roosters like in bloody vets, government. Woof, woof.
Like AQUIS, the people who do quarantining, help with quarantine.
Ah.
So prevent diseases from entering Australia.
What's the most interesting animal that you've ever dealt with?
Axolotl.
What is that?
Axolotl.
Remember when Pets Paradise used to exist? Back when there were pet stores in shopping centres? And sometimes you'd see those willowy, ghostly looking lizard-like things and they didn't have scales but they were in the water or out of the water. And they
weird
often albino.
Things.
Yeah. With seaweed gills.
Looks like a fresh mouse.
A mouse? Like looks like had a tail.
It had a tail, but like the pinky.
It looked
like
prehistoric, right? Like part of an evolution diagram.
It looks like something from the bottom of the ocean. Where does that even come from? How do they go, "Let's make this a pet"?
Yeah, what is the prerequisite to being a pet?
Probably aesthetically and out of novelty, just looking at that sort of creature, people thought, money. Yeah.
And chimps, are you against having chimps as pets?
Yes.
Okay. And so what is
the It's illegal in a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like,
I don't know why you need to have a chimp as a pet.
Well, what do you need to have a dog as a pet?
Exotic reasons.
Yeah, but is there, like, what do you think the reason is to get a pet? Like, a lot of people get a pet because it's like the first step before having a kid.
Yeah. I think there's heaps of reasons. So for a lot of people, like, it might be that it's convention to get one, mm-hmm. and they're influenced by convention, what everyone else is doing. It might be because deep down they're a child within who always had a dream to have a companion dog and a best mate. Often it's companionship and love and just having love to give and wanting to look after something. Mm. It's a power thing. And
it's a pet. I think maybe I do want a pet.
Oh, they're lifesavers, though. Guard dogs. My brother has benefited so much from having a dog.
Yeah, some dogs are assistant dogs, so they help with people who are about to have seizures, or they can tell when your blood sugar's going high or low.
Is it true that some of them can sniff out cancer? I heard
yes.
that.
Yes.
That's crazy.
I don't know how you train one to do that, but
yeah, it's I wonder if I could get a diet dog. Anytime I went to eat some sugar, it would fucking bite me. Could you imagine?
I'm sure you can train that. We give it food.
So how do you train? Like, how do I?
It just wants the food from you, Josh.
Well, so
that's mine.
Well, so we're house sitting at the moment. We're looking after a dog, and Bree and I rarely cook, and we cooked on this occasion. We did like a lamb, and there was a bone. It was like a decent sized bone, so I gave it to Archie, the dog.
Was it a cooked bone or a raw bone?
Yeah, it was cooked. And
you
so
do that.
I know. Well, this is why I think I discovered, because I gave it to him.
Smarter than I think. Yesterday I said that. The same thing.
So I gave it to Archie outside, and he was loving it. And then I hear, and he swallowed the whole thing. Like, I imagined, like, the way that bones work is it's like they bite
go
all the meat
and
they
turn get, into powder.
Yeah, they get all the. No, well, I just thought that they would. I would walk away. I'm like, ah, oh, the bone's there, and I'd go put it in the bin
or bury it.
But he ate the whole thing. It's, I think, a golden retriever or Labrador. I don't know the difference.
So, can you just give us the rundown of the next 24 hours?
From the bone. Like,
oh, most. I'm sure most dogs get given cooked and uncooked bones and do absolutely fine. It's just the ones that don't do fine make
what
us
could happen
not to do it. It could become a foreign body, so it can get lodged somewhere in the tube system of the guts.
So it could still be.
It
so
could
it
cause
could be
constipation.
Okay.
Break a tooth.
To be honest, if he was constipated for the next week and a half while we're not there, while we're there, that could be.
Yeah, but constipation isn't always just no poo. It doesn't equal zero poo.
It's
sometimes it equals
poo.
A build up of diarrhea. And then an explosion.
I've got a 2-year-old. You should see, backed up, comes out like a rock.
Yeah, constipation is not a good thing.
It's a stream.
You don't want constipation, do you?
No way.
And plus, it's uncomfortable.
So dogs are pretty resilient, though. They can survive a lot of stuff. I had two whippets growing up.
What are
Angus,
whippets?
Whippets.
Small greyhounds.
Yeah, small greyhound, slightly bigger than a miniature. What are the smaller
Italian
ones?
Greyhound.
Italian greyhound. So it's interesting, like, there's a little family. Italian greyhound, whippet. Greyhound.
There's a poodle version of that family too.
Really?
Toy poodle, miniature poodle, standard poodle.
Are they cousins? What are they? Just like, how does that work?
Well, all dogs are the same species.
Yeah,
so
see, that's
related.
Weird. I guess there's humans and there's
but
races.
But not all birds are the same species. They're all different species.
All right, you just fucking blow my head open.
So this is, I don't even this is where that. We fall apart as a show.
But I want to hear about your woodland story.
Angus was around when I was... a young teen experimenting with herbs of such nature. And
herbs.
Herbs.
He was doing marijuana.
And so what we did was we cooked up this butter where we just got like leaves from a plant and sort of like soaked them in it, boiled the butter for an hour, poured it in, made these cookies. I got them to a point where they tasted pretty good, except for the fact that my dog got into them and he ate like 3 or 4 of these, which you'd be in trouble as a human. Eating 3 or 4.
And those are lean dogs, so it doesn't take much.
And so I'm freaking out. Mum and Dad are gone, aren't there. And I'm like, oh no, what do we do? I called the local vet. They're like, you need to put salt down its like
soda crystals?
Yeah, down its throat to have it spewing out.
Was the vet really far away?
No, he was just in the same suburb, couldn't be bothered coming over. Okay. But he's like, yeah, he should be fine. And so the dog was so stoned. He was walking down the hallway, bumping into the walls, and he didn't die. And so that's what it's like.
So you saved a life.
Do you reckon doing that, putting the salt down its throat,
Yeah, you can get salt toxicity. If it was soda crystals, that makes you vomit.
Yeah.
But did you have soda crystals at home? Because I give that advice over the phone, and I don't know anyone who has soda crystals.
Well, Mum had them.
So what would you use soda crystals for?
I don't even know what they're for.
I thought they were for like cleaning, putting in the bath, like when you've got sore muscles.
Tommy's mum's a yogi.
Isn't that Epsom salts?
Maybe I gave him Epsom salts. I was young and I was dumb.
But you gave something that made
whippy
vomit.
And he was like, but he was affected from it. Have you ever seen a animal come into the clinic?
Stoned.
Well, beyond that, like
dead?
Actually in a bad way. No, not dead, but just taken
in an
something.
Emergency.
A more
really
lethal
common.
Substance.
Dogs eat stuff. That's why you get pet insurance.
But like,
that's a good ad.
But like, what is there been a more severe, like a more intense drug that you've seen one take?
I can't remember. I'm going completely blank because I feel like they can eat absolutely everything.
Yeah.
I had like a French bulldog come in at least 6 times in the first half of the year just for eating Lush soap.
The same
but
one?
Yeah, but that's all organic.
I mean, I learned from the first cookie incident. Don't leave the cookies in a place you can eat them.
Yeah,
don't
but
move
these
your
are
Lush
accidents.
Soap.
These are accidents and yes. People are busy and tired. So
yeah.
What should I do when the dog – so I've been going to the park and – every time I go, there's food at the park and the dog eats it.
Yep.
So it's been – once was hot chips and it was in the
– Is the dog on a lead?
No.
Being on a lead would
– Yeah, but they – I wanted – like he's inside all day, so I just want him to sort of like roam around.
Well,
is that irresponsible?
Training. You would need to train him to do that.
Is it safe for me?
Cause it's hard when it's not your own dog too.
Yeah, because I don't know if I can sort of grab him in those moments. So Bree keeps saying like, why does every time you take Archie out – he's eaten something because we thought he was bleeding because it was all like red all over the floor. And then we smelt it. It was tomato sauce from the chips that was dripping off his
like
mouth.
Like a stunt.
Yeah. And so what's the – is it mango – like in those situations where he's eating something, I worry that some psychopath has put something in the mango – like his over dogs being around the area.
I've it's heard about like guys putting –
ticks on grounds for
into steak, like poison to steak, throwing it over fences.
Yeah, you hear stories like
did
that.
Did you ever encounter it though?
Most people aren't that nasty, but people always suspect that their neighbour might have that vendetta against them.
Dog's not feeling bad. Brian's poisoned him. Yeah, I knew it.
But the only way to stop, like some dogs, it would take so much training to stop them doing that because they're just froth over food. But you have to reward him for not going for the food and going to you instead. Okay. So you should carry some
food.
Treats.
Okay.
So a better alternative to the rubbish food.
Okay. What is the human food that dogs can eat? Because I've been giving him, he's got this habit of eating shapes.
Eating it for nutrition or accident?
No. So he eats this.
He's got a habit of eating almond shapes.
No, four shapes. He gets four shapes before his dog food.
As in the owner, that's...
Why
that's
does he get four shapes?
Because that's what he gets.
Habit.
So, yeah, he sits down and I'm like, throw it up and he eats it and he gets four.
Oh, so it's to entertain the human.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. So the dog
are you talking arnott shapes?
Yeah, but the dog loves it. The dog like is waiting specifically for the shapes.
Because he's been trained to expect the shapes.
Okay, but he doesn't like the shapes.
He probably loves it, but he's been trained to... He enjoys it. It's like giving you a lolly before you brush your teeth.
Or the dentist like giving you a lollipop after.
You accept it and you love it.
But if he enjoys it, like isn't
but
that
he will
thing?
Enjoy his dinner anyway.
My son would enjoy ice cream. I just don't give it to him.
But do you think? But
he would love it every day.
The thing is, have we screwed him up now? Like now that because
well, he's a big dog, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you haven't screwed him.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to work out, did the owners do the shape thing?
Yes.
And then they told you to do the shape
thing. Yeah, they leave.
But I don't know the owner's reasons for doing that.
I think it's because Archie loves it. So I think, but I understand.
Or he was
disobedient. I think it makes the owners happy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's
it's so a little funny. Thing that they is, can is
do. And it makes the dog happy too, but he doesn't need it from my professional opinion.
Okay, great.
I'd take it. It's a smart one. Is this the hardest you've sort of had to pull back on memories from your past as a vet?
No, not really. Like
or people quiz you all the time.
People love talking about animals and their pets.
Yeah.
God, I guess it's like if you're at a party and you say, you know, what you're doing now and then you say, I was a vet. They're like, I've got a few dog questions.
A lot of parties I've been going to, not even parties, gatherings where there's more than two people.
That sounds like
people,
a party to me.
People don't
this
ask
is a
what
party
you,
right now for Josh.
Yeah. People don't ask you what you do anymore because jobs are getting really vague. So you end up talking about other common things.
So there's insecurities in them if they're not.
I'm not sure why, or just the type of people don't do it. It's just not as interesting what you do.
I think that I think that there is a whole movement in "you aren't your job."
You are not your job.
Which we're 24 minutes in, and all we've spoken about is animals. But and the next thing we've got is that we want to talk about your illustrations.
Well, do you think that you aren't your job? Your job takes up a majority of your time. So I guess there's some, you know, nurturing things from you, like a caring for something outside of yourself. I think it describe.
But what do you do? Like, I think that the alternative now is like people say, what are you passionate about?
Mm.
Or like, what gets you up in the morning? Which sort of, that's why I don't go to parties, because that the idea of answering
banter.
It sounds like
I don't believe in passion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. Passion is, I was actually reading, is it the guy who did Dilbert? What do you think of him? Scott Adams.
Scott Adams. I think he's a genius, and I'm very scared of him.
Yeah, quirky, real quirky.
Squirky.
Squirky, real squirky. No, but I'm only like 10 pages in. I actually have a segment on this show called, what was it called? 20 pages in.
Yeah.
When I start talking about a book, because normally I only get to 20 pages. So.
Oh, yes, you had that issue of not finishing books. Exactly. I remember that.
So 20 pages in.
Not enough passion.
What I know, what I know about
you have
Scott
to
Adams.
Make the font really small so you could fit a whole book into first 20 pages.
This feels quite edged. That's what I liked about Deep Work. I was looking at it yesterday, just like marveling is that the right word? Marveling over the fact that I finished this book, like because I've underlined it.
That's quite a spaced out book, right? It's double spaced, it's well padded,
huge, and that's what I was thinking. I'm like, this could have actually been a little pocket.
I'm just imagining the smirk on the kids that grew up with Harry Potter and read every one of them right now, watching, just like.
I only got 40. Actually, I can remember it. I got 40 pages into Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Is that the first one, Mr. 97? You should know.
So I'd only read one chapter. I'm saving it for retirement because I don't think it's worth this segment of my life.
I've seen the movies, guys.
Yeah, I've seen the movies.
I can tell you about them.
Have you seen Star Wars?
Yes.
I haven't. So that's one of those ones where it's
generational.
But
thing.
I don't know about Star Wars. I've just come along for the ride, but don't really understand what
you don't enter into the Star Wars sort of.
I'm not a fan.
Thing. And so when did you realize that when you were doing the vet stuff that you liked? The reason, you know, the vet stuff, I struggle with the word veterinarian. And I remember specifically, Mum used to always pick up on things that I would say wrong. I think one of them was I would say the vet. I think she would say, the profession isn't, they're not a vet. You go to a vet. They're a veterinarian. Okay, great.
Yeah, or times have changed. Your mum might have been right back then.
Maybe, yeah. But the other
language
one was...
Language is getting lazier.
I would say advertisement, and she would say it's advertisement.
Mm. I say advertisement.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like tomatoes, tomatoes.
And I don't think we actually measured 98 point what was your interscore?
The whole world will know. 98.25, which solid is average at my school. I was so happy with it.
I mean, 46 was average at my school.
98.25 more than me, so...
So enter score is like Tommy
but
and I.
You clearly don't need a score.
I know, but I like that. That I would love to have a score. I have moments.
I can score you.
Okay, great.
Afterwards,
we can do it out of 100 or something.
As an interview,
that would be horrendous.
You said you went to a school where I guess when you're at a high IQ or what? How would you say?
Oh, you sit an exam and they make sure that you're at a certain ability level.
What are they asking in the exam?
I recall it being. Was it three parts? So there's an essay writing part. I think there's like a general English reading comprehension part, and there's maths.
Yeah. You were saying those kids that you're looking at and sort of the naivety and the path that they're on. And you said sort of you said you wanted to be an artist, but then you went into vet, which is a much more tried and tested career path.
Yep.
But you've done the full circle. You've gone the vet, so you've done the tried and tested.
Yeah,
and
well, what happened with vet was I achieved the dream that I set out to achieve. So I was working at my dream clinic, which I love.
And you saved an axolotl. That was your dream.
Well, you can even remember the name. What was the dream clinic? What was that mean to a vet?
It was just a gold standard clinic with lovely people. They practiced at the highest standards, really, really cared about the animals and the clients. They just didn't do any didn't cut corners, and a lot of clinics can.
How would you cut a corner?
So say during an anaesthetic you might be too busy to write and record down the heart rate or the respiratory rate, like not not writing proper records. That's a corner cutting thing. Mm. Or maybe handling the animals a bit too efficiently rather than taking your time, which is less stressful. Sure. So, yeah, there's heaps of...
The anaesthetist, or however you say it, like, do they have them in vets, or do you do that yourself?
You can specialize. You can be a vet who specializes in anaesthesia.
Are they ballers? Because, you know, like, normally you always meet someone who's like, oh, my God, like, have you seen Becky and John? Like, they're always on holidays and they've got six BMWs. And it's like, yeah, he's an anaesthetist.
Well, they earn more, but I'm pretty sure they work really hard.
Okay, and sure.
Yeah.
Well, so, all we see is them coming just...
yeah. I feel like...
bloody jab.
I feel like the anaesthetist... this is the last time I'm saying it.
Yeah.
It's the kind of person who she would probably have Bitcoin. Get right into Bitcoin.
So you say they're not the most educated investors?
No, I'm saying that they've just got...
I don't know how we've connected vet and anaesthetist with Bitcoin.
No, well, I just feel
people with,
like,
lots of money spending it on dumb stuff.
No, one of my clients who I love, he's a neurosurgeon, and he gets into crypto. Like, he was like, that's what...
But
like,
anyone can get into crypto. It attracts lots of odd personalities.
Yeah. But it feels like there's something in... I felt that was sort of a... I wasn't expecting him to be... Like, he was interested in tech and doing all that stuff. I'm like, where's that come from? It's like, oh, like, he's got, like, disposable income that he's wanting to...
Or they're just complex, multidimensional human beings who have multiple interests.
I like that too.
Oh, yeah. So you're an artist now.
I'm an illustrator.
Yep. Which is that? You call yourself an artist?
I could, but I feel like artist is more fine artist. Mm. So someone who...
A painter.
Yeah, traditional mediums, or a little bit more avant-garde than what I do.
Yeah.
So...
what does avant-garde mean?
Like edgy, ahead of the time.
Okay.
Well, either way, you're more artistic than I am when it comes to illustrations. I was just looking through your website. Dangerland.
Old website.
Is that your old website? Yeah. Are you updating?
It's always old.
it's always old.
Dynamic. Needs a CMS. What does Danger Lamb mean?
It's not that interesting of a story, but I think early days when I was dating Jason, we were just going for a walk along the park. So this is a really faint, wispy memory.
Connecting the dots just quickly, Jason Fox was on episode 101.
Good so memory.
Go back. Good. It's not my memory. It's searching in Google, Jason Fox, The Daily Talk Show.
There we go. Yeah, Dr.
But you did not search on Google just then. It came out of your head.
Yeah.
But he's literally, that's the only
3 minutes ago. Yeah.
But that's the only thing he's been focusing on the whole was, I saw his lips the whole thing.
he's been waiting to say it.
I actually could hear it in the headphones. So he got it out. I'm glad that we wasted all of that.
Yeah. So I was just walking along. I'm pretty sure it was outdoors under a tree, walking along a park pathway. And then I broke into song, and there was a Danger Mouse song that I can't remember anymore. Danger Mouse, the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I made a Danger Lamb version of that just in that moment. And all we remember is that song was epic and so cool and should be a famous jingle that I get royalties for. We don't remember what it sounds like at all, but that's where Danger Lamb came
from. And so then you're like, I need to get the Instagram. And
Instagram
the website
didn't exist back then.
Yeah, sure. So what was the next? Because I'm obsessed with domain names. I'm actually starting to let a lot lapse. Does anyone want nowexplored.com? It's about to lapse.
Not bad for a travel. We should just try and sell some of these online.
How many do you have now?
It's slowly diminishing. But I've got like lots of – sometimes I get I got one called Plain Face, which we mentioned on the show. But the idea
Aeroplane
was –
Aeroplane?
Yeah, PlaneFace. I think I had to get the .co. I don't think the .com was available.
Which is more expensive.
But I had the Instagram Plane Face. And the idea was that it was a face mask for being on the plane, specifically designed for the plane.
Oh, yes. Yep.
But anyway, so I'm not doing
it. Because people do use
those. Great idea.
Yeah, and I just felt like
it hasn't been executed.
I thought the thing was...
It's up for sale if you want.
But what I could imagine, the reason I got it was because of the whole sort of social influencer movement. People want to say that they're... on going on holidays. We need an excuse to post that we're on a plane, and it's not good enough now to post the photo of the wing.
It's not for those masks that you wear.
No, so it's it is. So
that keep your skin hydrated.
I mean, exactly. That's what it is. But the way that we get people in is they're going to buy it because then they can take their photo of them with their plane face on.
You're such a visionary for these ideas. You see the potential. Mm. That
I had a whole PR strategy. The way that I was going to get on the news... I was never going to do this, but I thought that covering your face could be a security issue. And so if I could create a story around that,
where you could get arrested.
Well, yeah, it was either like the extreme version is having the plane face on, and then going up to the toilet near the cockpit, but just sort of flailing a little bit to the point where they sort of put you down, like sort of potentially arrest you.
So you wanted to create some controversy.
Yeah. Some controversy to be like, or it wouldn't even have to be that extreme, just get them to say, sir, can you take the mask off?
And have your iPhone out. Exactly. Selfie mode.
So I would be like filming the whole thing, and then in the news it would be like a man was taken off a plane. Virgin Australia has had to come out to say, can you wear plain face on the
plane? But what if they don't use your lingo?
Yeah, that's the – well, I would so obviously –
Man has been apprehended looking suspicious at the cockpit area.
Yeah.
That's all it got sold in as.
But then I'd have to – I'd run ads probably against
– But would that be negative PR?
No, because the thing is Virgin Australia is going to come out and say, absolutely, we have no problem with the mask thing. What we had issue with was the guy was screaming.
So will your face be anonymous?
Yeah, well, because the thing is that I'm wearing the plain face. It's the perfect disguise.
We'd definitely hire an extra for it at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Give him a fair, let's get Mr. 97. Fair.
Yeah,
hey,
Mr. 97. Hey,
ever been to Sydney? Want to go?
Keep that domain. So I was on your site and
okay.
There was an area where you've just got a whole bunch of your illustrations and a little sentence about, assuming what you were thinking around.
It was a small pleasures project that I did a while back, 100 days of illustrations around a small pleasure.
Yeah.
So
what I love is like I could take it, they're so relatable. These are the four that I've pulled up. You can't see them right now, but I'll just pick one and we can sort of talk about them because it's so – these are very relatable to a lot of people, I think. Is that how you approach
I tried to make it project? As personal and esoteric as possible to me, hoping that that would have a like byproduct of being relatable. But
yeah.
First of all, that it was really specific to me, because if it's specific to me and I assume I'm not special, then it will be specific to other people who feel like they're really special for relating.
So this one, you've just got someone wandering through a park – and then they've found a marble on the ground and you've written keeping. It says, finders keepers, especially lost marbles. I found a marble only last week at the park. I was playing with my son. I'm like, that's mine. And I was just remembering as a kid, marbles were so big.
Yeah. It was a currency for kids.
Yeah.
It was huge. The Pee-wee 50s.
The ball bearing-y sort of ones.
Galaxies.
Is that the one?
Like it's also a reference to losing your marbles.
Ah,
have you
I
lost
see.
Your marbles?
How much... Actually, so that's I've lost my marbles. No, but I'm thinking about like when you I look at a painting, right, and I could come up with sort of what it could mean, and you always hear what the artist has interpreted. And I wonder, and I've always wondered, is that a post thought? So the creation happens and you're illustrating, you have just an intention or a thought and you get it out and then you start making sense of why you did that post, like
I think everyone's different. Like sometimes you set out to draw something or make something and it turns into something different. Sometimes you've got a really specific aim or vision or feeling or objective in mind and then you do whatever it takes to get to that specific thing you had. So everyone's really different. I think with art there's no generalization.
Definitely watched edits of mine and I'm just like, that's what that means. I was like, I didn't even think that. I'm like, I see where I've connected that there. But I haven't
done
it
naturally. The genius of your subconscious. You were in flow.
Yeah. Maybe that is. Maybe that's my art form. I guess it is my art form.
Maybe you're, I think we're artists.
I'm losing
my marbles.
You're a podcast artist.
Yeah.
Podcastartist.com. That domain name is definitely available.
Just port.
Podcastartist. It's not good. and the 100 days, was that a specific I need to do something?
It's a hashtag Instagram project thing. It was started by Ella Luna from the States.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely lady. And
Australia?
It was a artist. She wrote the intersection between should and must, which is a great book I recommend. So
what was it called, sorry?
The intersection between should and must.
Okay. And it's illustrative.
Yes, got words and images and paintings. So it was hashtag 100 day, or hashtag the 100 day project. So thousands of people around the world participated.
I had the domain name 100dayproject.com.
No. No way.
And I had the...
Because it's really popular
the
now.
The fucking thing is I've still got the Twitter of it, I'm pretty sure.
Domain lapsed.
But I let the domain lapse, and that's an example of that actually would have been...
Yeah.
100 day project.
You're on it before.
I'm sure people will want to sell packages around 100 day projects.
Well, that's what was
you
so
want to capitalize.
Isn't that so annoying that I like See, the one domain name that I let – this is why you can't let domain names go.
Yeah.
Well, how much time per week do you spend managing your domain names and handles, social media handles?
Not much anymore because I've retired from social media, so it's a lot easier. But I don't know. I just want to make sure that this is right. Cause check that.
So one of your other ones I loved was the character – is this you?
Yeah,
I'll show
it's
you.
It's autobiographical.
Hopefully the camera can see that, my dirty screen. But so there's you having a sneak peek into a book, and you've written sneak peeks at the last page of a book.
Yes.
I have done that and read the last page because I couldn't hold on. And Josh is a bookman. Hang on, I've got something for you, Josh.
I've only just become a bookman.
This was downstairs, Josh.
Oh, that's exciting. I love book packages.
I've just given Josh a package with a book.
Have you heard of... worldbooks.com.
No. Is that your domain?
No, it's not. But fuck, just quickly, 100dayproject.com.
You still got it?
No, but I had it.
And so I've got someone
got it now. Yeah, someone's got it now. And so I've got the GoDaddy.
You can always ask for it back.
No, well, I don't because...
In the form of money.
But the idea was that I could have sold it. But then if you have a look, I still have confirm your Twitter account. This is 2010. 100-day project. Should I give it to if someone wants 100-day project
on
Twitter?
The people who have 100-day project. Couldn't see it.
Maybe it's available again.
To them.
But you know what? I had T2T on Twitter because I was like, you know, I went to this was before Twitter got big, and I went into T2.
Is it still big?
Twitter.
Yeah.
People know. If I said to Mum, "Hey, do you see anything on Twitter?" She'd be like, "Yeah, I looked at Twitter yesterday." So that's
she's actually
big.
Looking at Twitter.
Yeah, she. Oh, that's how she keeps up to date with my brother in the US. Yeah. But they don't call. but no, the – what was I saying? Oh, yeah, T2. I thought this is a perfect – I thought T2 was so hipster at the beginning. I was like, oh, this is like – you remember T was like a really big – like when was it? 2007, it felt like there was a big move in Silicon Valley where everyone's like, oh, you need oolong tea.
And if you listen to Tim Ferriss, he's
– the pu-air tea. Yeah.
Oh, he's saying words pu-air. I don't know.
And it was like that was also going to be my like way of losing weight. They said if you had pu-air tea, you were going to lose
it. Well, how about Greta from Skinny Me Tea? She made $20 million out of selling
a dream.
Detox teas. I made a fortune.
I don't know about the detoxing.
But what I thought is open the book and let's have a look at the last page so we see if we can gather what the book's about based
on... Some people are really purist about not doing that.
Really? Is this like a...
It's some people are really against spoilers and it's not what the author intended, et cetera.
So what you're saying is you're saving us from disappointing heaps of people that we're going to read this book? Possibly. Well, I guess spoilers, it's like a movie.
Or you can read the last page without telling people which book it is.
It's quite a quirky one.
You don't have to read
this out. Books. No, it's fine. you're setting me up.
I'm backing out of this
pervert
idea.
Pervert or whatever that's done some elite, like the Anarchist Cookbook or something. World of Books, used books, secondhand, and you buy them. It's great. And so that's what I've like this.
This is from World of Books.
And so what is the book?
It's smell. Just smelling it.
It smells new.
Does it?
Like glue.
97, can you grab the top book there, please? You're in for
can
a
I
real
look, Josh?
Treat. Yeah. So smell this one. So this one I got yesterday.
Dude on the front cover just punching a dart.
I like that smell.
Yeah.
It's old like book smell.
Yeah, it smells like Nana's house or what Nana's house used to be like. Yeah, so that's that book. But so this book here, this is slightly quirky. It's this dude who – his name's Artie Lang. He was on a radio show, Howard Stern radio show, and he got kicked off the show for he had real issues with drugs or whatever. And right now, if you Google Artie Lang, so look at him there. Can you tell me when the book was published? Do you know how to define that? Kim will show you.
The front.
It's book, at the front.
Printed in the United States of America, book design. Copyright 2018, 2009 Spiegel and Garu trade paperback edition.
So it's not that old, the book.
2009, yeah.
But this guy, Artie Lang, has done so much coke and drugs.
His nose is falling off. The poor dude. He looks like he's got a fake nose. Yeah. He's a comedian and Joe Rogan, they're all sort of friends and they were showing photos of this same thing.
So anyway.
Poor guy's nose bleeding in interviews. I mean, we're going pretty dark here, but this is his book.
Anyway, so this is his book. So maybe
Too
go
Fat
to,
the to Fish, it's called.
Too Fat to Fish. So do you want to read just the last page?
Is this sponsored?
No, it's
definitely
not.
Definitely not.
I don't know if – I wouldn't think it would still be in print.
So this autobiography?
What do you reckon that is? So there's a bunch of like marks on the side.
words at the top that you can see on the agent page.
Yeah. It's a long. It's going to be long.
Can Kim read it, please? The final.
The final.
Well, there's the open letter from Artie.
No, just read the very final page,
part of the book.
The last word.
Well, okay, not the whole thing.
Oh, this is two pages. Can you please?
Okay.
I do the last. Yeah, from there.
This is a really long paragraph.
That's okay. You're primed.
Anxieties from school of talking in front of
the group. A random book by a random dude.
Okay, it could be highly offensive, and I'm sorry in advance.
And
okay.
Kim does not endorse this book.
Can you do it in an audible style? This is your opportunity to do it as an audio book.
Before I sign off, I'd just like to say, if you enjoyed this book at all, if maybe you found something in these pages that gave you a chuckle or caused an eye to tear or taught you a lesson about what not to do, tell a friend about it. Don't give them your copy, please. That's a bad idea. I hope you found at least one story in here that you might want to reread. So no, don't give it away. Tell your friends, all of them, that they should buy this book. It's fine to lie to them about how good it is. The important thing is to tell them to buy it. Because lately, I'm starting to think that on the show business drug addict forgiveness meter, I'm inching closer to Jeff Conaway than Robert Downey Jr. each and every day. Well, I gotta go. Take it easy. And I hope to see you all back here next book.
There we go.
Is there a next book?
I think there probably was.
I did not relate to any of that.
No, yeah, I don't. I think based on the...
Thank you for expanding my world. Yeah,
judging the book by its cover, I think you could probably do it in that case. It's pretty,
so pretty
obvious.
So you paid money for that.
Did I pay money for that? Yeah, I did. I want to understand the whole showbiz thing. I want to understand like what was the
old... Because you guys are in showbiz.
Well, it's like I think that we're in this new world and showbiz stuff is changing. So it's like, well, what is this? What does it all mean?
Well, we were talking yesterday about the unclear business model of being a creative, whereas it's similar from being a vet. Very clear. Being an illustrator. How do you deal with that sort of uncertainty as a creator?
Just take it by the day. Mm-hmm. Improvise. There's endless tips out there on the internet, at events, in real life, from people. There's so many books you can read on it. So there's no shortage of tips and methods on what you can do to improve the way you run your art business and situation.
Well, it's hard because I always see it as like the business side and the creative side. We need to be flourishing in the creative side to make any sense in the business side. I mean, there's probably some companies that are just purely engineering it from a business perspective that generates cash flow from the creative that is subpar. But as a creator, I know that it's like, unless I'm sort of fulfilled over here, I don't want it to really be working over there. Otherwise, I'm really unhappy.
Yeah, I guess you need to wear different hats and also know that, like, if you're working in a non-arts related job at the same time as being in the arts, that you can be your own patron. I think I heard that somewhere from someone else. So you can fund your arts practice by working another job, which is great.
That's what I was saying to Tommy yesterday. I said maybe we just
go back to Woolworths.
Go to Woolworths.
That's a totally respectable.
It's like it'd be easy. Like I'm like, it's actually like then it would be take out way less blurred
lines. It's really smart. Yeah, I think it's a really wise move.
Or to go, as you're thinking, we should just both go work at Woolworths and then do some podcasting.
But the thing is, it would be like I think
you'd get a lot of material.
Yeah, true.
And it's therapeutic as well.
Night shift.
I think that would be so much fun. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, I've worked jobs and I can't handle it. I think you have to experience the two. If you're itching in a job to try and do a creative endeavor full time. I've done the two, and for me, I personally can't last in just the job. My mind is going crazy. I just want to be out. So the pain of working in the job is greater than the pain of what I experience as a
business owner. So what could be one? Like I could be a security guard. I think I would be good at that. Well, just because of the like screens, I like the idea of my job is to catch people out. Like I would love to, and I'd create so many
internet
stories.
Security.
I could just imagine I'd be at the control room. And I like someone walks in and I'd be focusing on the nut section of Woolworths because we know that's sort of a prime target for abuse.
Yeah.
And so I would just be watching. I'd be like, okay, like I think that'd be so much fun.
To be a security guard.
Yeah.
But some of them stand outside doors.
Well,
they're not all in control panel rooms.
And that's the whole thing. I'd want to be in the control panel. Yeah. And that's probably something that's like, bro.
Isn't that what Homer Simpson did?
No, he worked at a nuclear plant. No, he was looking after a reactor.
But he had control panels. And
he definitely had control panels, but the bit that I enjoy is the security.
Stalking.
Yeah, the stalking, the zooming, the voyeurism.
You need to be the CCTV guy. So head office of CCTV
Most
Victoria.
Most of the time nothing happens.
Yeah. But I'm cool with that. Would you be okay with that? I'm so, like, listen to this podcast. Like, you can go a whole ep. But it's like, but it's just like super, super chill. I could imagine if there was a, when I was a kid, I used to, my mum got so upset with me because I'd hide my, I got a microphone and a amplifier, like a speaker. I didn't play any instruments, but I would like just talk into it. And I got a long XLR cable, like a mic cable.
This thing here.
And put the mic under the couch and ran the cable all the way into my room with my speaker and turned my speaker up. I could hear every conversation. And I loved it. And so the idea of May, and mum said, "You are sick." And she found that. She's like, "You are sick." And I was like,
sick was her description.
Yeah, it was sick. It was sick.
Not like, that's naughty.
Yeah.
What was she talking dirty? Lynn? What were you doing?
It's like, are you curious? Like, oh, that's very curious of you. No, that was
I think
sick.
It's quite smart.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Bodie, you're a little weapon. Yeah,
so, but I get it. When you feel like your privacy is being invaded, maybe that's an instant response. And so I wouldn't mind as a legitimate job, PI, like private investigator, or even like bugging things, like being able to like be in a
what
room.
What is it about it that you like about
I just always secrets no it's the secrets. It's like, what are people saying when they're not on, like when
people's
it's just,
a glimpse into people's inner worlds.
Yeah,
I like that too.
What would be your job, like if you weren't an illustrator, you weren't doing any vet stuff, what would you do?
And have you thought about, has there been a moment?
I would be a spy as well.
Really?
Yeah, I have had this conversation before, which sounds really unoriginal because Josh just said the same thing.
Do you have it based on thinking this is tough and you're actually dreaming about another possibility?
No, it's just based on like just daydreaming something completely different life that's novel.
Yeah, so there's the difference novel. We have at the conversation because it's like...
Because you're bursting from your current job.
This is hard. Like, this is all hard.
No, I'm just doing privileged daydreaming.
Okay, yeah.
And so what is...
No, we are too.
What's the appeal for you for being a spy? It's the start of a great business op, I feel.
Well, I like being sneaky and secretive. Mm. Uh-huh. Not that I do that on a day-to-day, by the way, you can trust me. But just...
such a sneaky
I just
thing
get
to
such
say.
A... You just get such a rush from doing something you're not supposed to do. No one knows you're doing it. Mm. And it's helping a project as well.
Yeah, so it feels like it's productive.
Yeah, it's productive.
Yeah.
Intel.
And so would it be a specific, if you actually were to imagine what it looked like, that job, is it more, I like the idea of being in a car, having some form of fast food, because it's like, fuck, we need something quick. It just needs to be easy.
I would say you've seen too many movies, but you actually haven't seen enough movies.
No,
it's actually just your imagination.
Yeah, like the idea of just being in the car, being able to have the aircon on.
I think you've got a more sedentary version of these things that I do. Like,
so you're
sitting
more
in a control
in the field.
Room.
Yeah, so you're more like
Mr.
and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, I'd be like putting bug stickers on people's ceilings, like sneaking into apartments and then getting out the window just in time.
I met the guy who was like an ex SAS dude, like badass, and he's now a spy, like a private detective, so you can hire him. And he said that he was like going under cars, bugging them, going to hotel rooms behind the thing, like legit
that
doing everything
wild.
You're saying. But he also has the tactical skills to be able to disarm you if you have a gun in his face.
I would love those skills. Like,
as well.
I wouldn't want to use them, but I just think...
Disarming's fine.
Yeah, disarming skills, weapon skills.
Yeah.
Fighting skills.
I feel like you both don't have any of that side of the equation. You could probably both be spies.
The weapon stuff. But maybe that's our... Maybe we're more likely to be spies. Like we
you're
look
at,
like a spy.
Well, you're at HQ.
Yeah.
Well, hearing like...
Kim
KGB.
Would definitely.
Well, we wouldn't talk about it on the podcast.
Well, I think you would be an intelligent. I think you would. I think. Do you know what? If it was a movie, if it was the Kim Lam movie, I think what would actually happen is you would be the one that wants to be sent out in the jobs.
Mm. I'd be James Bond, and you'd be.
But the thing is, you're an intelligent.
Mom.
I don't know any references. Remember, I haven't seen.
Have you not seen James Bond?
No, I haven't. No.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Because hasn't there's seen a the Matrix
lot of,
either.
There's a lot of them.
I'm worried about that.
But anyway, so the I could imagine that you want to be the spy, you want to be out on the scene, but you're just the intelligence, like you're in that role.
I'd be gathering the data.
Absolutely. But
well, that's the area you could play in, Josh, is the phone information. Like there'd be spies that are just doing it from a computer.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere.
I was watching Catfish and there was like the old world teen winner or whatever. You know, like they've got world competitions. What's the one that Trump runs?
Oh, Miss Universe.
Miss Universe. It was like Miss Teen. It sounded really horrendous. Mm. But anyway, the winner of that, she had a guy who got her webcam on all the time or whatever, which is so like so bad, and was starting to what's it called when you like say, hey, I got this information.
Extorting. You've got a little thing on your...
I was going to ask about...
Oh, yeah, I've got a panda sticker on my...
Camera.
Self-facing camera on my iPad. Yeah. And I just realised just right now that the book I referenced, I think I read out the wrong title. I think it's The Crossway Between Should and Must, not Intersection.
Oh, that's okay.
Something Between Should and Must.
Facebook have just created these little things and sent them out to a whole stickers? Bunch of agencies. Yeah, they're a sticker that has a little door. So you can go...
yes, like a hardware sort of thing.
I would love that because I collect stickers.
Well, it's an actual functional... It's a real functional sticker.
Is it, you've you already got any sticker though.
You've already got the Daily Talk Show, don't you?
This
you
is a transparent one. Sticker.
Yes.
So it wouldn't that work. One. Oh, no, that one. Yeah, but the Facebook but yes, one is... Okay. So you can... It's not like... How many times... I've had to rip off and it's been dirty.
It's adhesive on it.
I just ended up leaving it off and I don't do anything naughty anymore.
It's...
I mean, not that I was doing anything naughty before. That sounded bad. I wasn't doing anything naughty to hide myself from. I'm in a corner. Painting myself. I've lost my marbles.
We're just not saying anything when you talk.
That's why I enjoy. The iPad, when you started illustrating, like do you get into stationery and stuff? Like
yes. You mean digital stationery?
No, well, so what does that even mean?
Because you can draw on the tablet on this amazing app called Procreate.
And when you say digital stationery, do you mean like... You can buy do you buy these brushes?
You can make your own brushes, yep.
That's crazy.
You can have a brush that's your face. So as you do paint strokes, it's just paint strokes of your face repeating itself.
Have you done that?
I've created one just to see how to use it.
Very self-obsessed for a person that that's all I paint with, my face.
But that you could create something quite cool with that. But what was the transition from analog to doing this?
Oh, I still do analog. I'm doing both all the time. No transition because the pencil, which I don't have here, the Apple Pencil, has so little friction that it feels like using a normal pen or pencil or paintbrush. It's instant.
You know the black – is it Blackwing?
Yes. Yeah,
the Blackwing pencil.
Blackwing Palominos.
Yeah. See? So, oh, that's cool.
Instant. Could you draw me? Like, are you? You know how there's like, remember Mr.
Can you make me a brush,
Mr. Squiggle?
I can do a brush out of your face.
Oh yeah. Or do you take a photo first?
Yeah, you take a photo, but there's a panda sticker there, so.
I'm always so impressed by the people, and it's probably the ones that I shouldn't be that impressed by. Those people when you're on holidays in Europe and you see them just like charging 100 euros to do a caricature of someone's face.
Yeah.
I mean,
those people are here in Melbourne as well.
Really,
really,
yeah,
where
in the city?
I don't go out enough.
Yeah, on Swanston Street.
I mean, I've never paid
at
one.
Queen Vic Markets.
Interesting.
As well.
It's a funny thing to do as a local. Could you imagine being in your hometown? And
I did it as a local.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe we could. We should get it done for
during
the show.
During high school.
Could you
guys have good faces for caricatures.
What does that mean?
Is that an insult or a compliment?
Charismatic faces.
You've complimented me. I hold on to compliments. Dr. Jason Fox, he came into the office the other day, said I was looking fit. Which was nice. And
which means he was judging you.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm fine with, as long as it's all positive. But you're complimenting my nose. You said that
You have a good profile.
Yeah.
And you have the opposite nose to, well, you have a nose that is good for wearing glasses because your glasses will not slip off your nose bridge because you've got enough verticality in it.
It's a lot of thought there. Is that
I've thought about this because my glasses fall off all the time because I don't have a Western nose. So, the glasses range in Australia and in general, the nose pads aren't built for faces like mine. So
there's so many. I feel like every optometrist that I've been to has been Asian. So I would assume,
But they just don't make.
They just don't make them for them.
Yeah, because your glasses bridge is resting on the skin of your nose bridge. It's touching.
Sure. So do you have to have a certain type of? But I'm constantly doing this still. Do you have to wear certain glasses then?
I wear the best glasses I can find. But when I went to Japan, these nose and bits were way longer. They look like antennae because there's so much more space it needs to fill between. Mm. Yeah.
Antennae is two antennas.
Yeah.
Okay. Or more than one.
Two.
I don't wear glasses. Is there? Do you think that I've got great eyesight? Let's be honest. Do you guys want not want to wear them? Is there like
I don't mind the look of them, but They are inconvenient because I have to switch between these and sunnies.
Well, I mean, Josh has just eradicated ever taking them off. Yeah. So, can you? What can you see?
I can see within a meter circumference around me.
And then it goes blurry.
And then it's. I can see 97's silhouette.
Yeah, great. Good. I really and appreciate that you remember.
I can see your face.
Drop the mister just straight to 97.
Though I like it a lot.
He's loving it too.
Look at him.
It's got cut
through. He's going shy.
Yeah, we've got to compliment 97. What about his nose profile? Turn around. Go to your side.
Oh, I can't. I can only see that's the fluffy outline.
He's got a good profile.
Yeah.
I mean, have I got a Western nose?
You do. I think some major glasses company even said for Asian profiles or something, and I don't know how I feel about that. They had a glasses range.
As in that is what's wrong with it, do you think?
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just they should just have it anyway without saying it's for Asians.
Yeah. So that's the same theory of like when people say, oh, I got like a skin-coloured thing, and it's like, what, which colour? That type of thing, you know that. No. Like when I was a kid, like a pinky color you'd call skin color, but super fucking racist, really, because it's like it's this assumed thing that it's like this is skin color. Everything else is fucked or something. Not that extreme, obviously.
Yeah. Well, Zoe Foster Blake had this exact thing happen to her with the tan. She created one color.
She saw it as
one tint. Yep. That's. I think this is where they went. Mm. Oh, she's created one colour. No, I created one tint. And as a small business, it's like, how many tints can you actually go and create? How much money would that be? Mm. Yeah. And she got heaps of...
Yeah, that's complex because that's also a deliberate decision. It's not black and white, racist or not, but it's just that it is a deliberate decision to serve a specific market of the majority. Yeah. And when you're making that decision subconsciously, you are deciding not to... do things that serve another market.
Mm.
So I think people who have minority colours or tastes or sizes do feel left out a lot. Like after a while we get tired, you're like, we want our colour or our size clothes. Mm. So
what responsibility do you think businesses have to service minority groups?
Oh, that's a hard question.
I feel like you're the only one that can answer it, so because we can't.
I think they
I'm
need
just
a,
over here with
I
a Western nose.
Not, a big Western,
I think if they're not serving
the
diverse Western. Market, they need to have a stance on it, on why, or if they're trying to change. And I think it's fine for small businesses to get to choose who they're serving.
Could you say, like, because the iPad's not ideal for someone without hands? So you could say, like...
But you can use your nose on the iPad.
Okay, sure. Even an Asian style, non-Western.
There's non-Western. A designer that has RSI. I think her profile went viral and she uses her nose. She made a touchpad for her nose.
Literally,
did you see that?
No, but
God,
I use
get
it
close
all
to the thing.
I use my foot. Like, say what? if I've got like a drink. Do you do this too, TJ?
Yeah, I do.
So if I need to get to like Instagram.
I don't know anyone who does that.
I just actually like the challenge. It's more just like, can I actually?
What
do
other
this?
Appendage?
Can I get into this?
That's
message?
The only one I need. It's like it's got like good, like it's sort of. I don't know.
But then
I,
does your eyesight go funny because you?
No, because I'm
in?
Literally like just.
I will double up on the compliments that you've been getting about your nose, Josh. I think it is probably the greatest nose to be doing what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, it's got,
a good point to it.
Yeah, but the problem
it's
is
got a double point.
Double
the
point.
Sun. Yeah. I have a bit of sun damage.
Cartilage division.
Sun damage on my nose. I feel like is.
It's healed
I've got a,
well.
Do you think?
I'll
say
it was a scab last time you saw it.
I've always had. I've more so sunglasses because it's sort of you don't see the eyes. But I've always felt like looking, even in the mirror, I've stood there for a little while looking at myself, and I get to this point where I. It looks like my nose is fake. It looks like my nose is being held on.
Because it's too perfect.
No, not because. Yeah, because it's a Western nose. No, but I just. The way that it's. It just looks like a. It's. You know,
why
like,
does it look fake?
I don't know. I just.
Because it's sort of like. It almost sits out.
It looks like it's connected to the sunglasses.
Oh, because of these bits.
Yeah, so for there, it looks like it's just been.
Looks like an incognito mask.
Yeah. Yes. Like looks a spy like I've got a fake nose on. And I just. Next time you're wearing sunglasses, just. Spend a few minutes in the mirror.
I didn't notice that when I first saw your face with sunglasses.
You didn't think I had a fake nose?
No.
I'm a bit weird.
It looked real.
What do you reckon? It's definitely real. Yeah, it's a real nose.
You can get a fake nose. This is a horror story doco that I saw when I was a kid of people who have had really unfortunate, I think probably cancers or something's happened to them so that they've had to have bits of their face removed surgically because it had disease in it. So there was this old man who had his ear, his nose, cheekbone, chin, like a lot of his upper teeth had to be removed. And he showed what his face looked like without all these things, and it was saggy and not held together. But then he had this amazing prosthetic set, this kit of his face that would be magnets that would just click into his face because he was old. That's anyway, sick. That you couldn't really see where it joined. And then he looked completely healthy and normal once all of his facial features were clicked on.
Like, I see. Mr. Potato.
I would literally say to that guy, mate, it looks like your nose is fake. It's amazing. Have you seen with glasses on? I'd say something like that.
But
you could have multiple.
I was just so impressed that could be made for someone so they can keep living their lives.
That's what I wonder. Normal. Like even I wonder about like core strength. I'm banking on not doing Pilates with the idea that in the next 10 years there's going to be something that's going to fucking look after that for me.
No quick fix, mate.
No, but just like I just need a brace.
I was listening to a guy who's an anti-aging expert and he said half of the medications that we've got that we're testing require exertion as well. So it's like it's actually
but I'm not talking medication.
Assisted with exercise.
I'm talking
so you
like
need to. There's
a
no
full brace with like legs so that you actually – the one risk is that we – all become these soft, no muscle because you don't have to use any because you just –
it's like in
sense?
The WALL-E movie, but you wouldn't have seen that.
I haven't
that.
Seen it. No.
It's like saying the pill. I'd rather take – if you could take a pill to
– lose weight or something.
Be healthy, would you? But it's like the benefits from our reality that come from exercise are still there. And so it's good. Like the physical exertion is good,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think it would make life really boring if you could just have a solution to everything with a pill or a button.
Yeah, what would we do?
Have you ever what's the ADD drug that people get right into?
Ritalin.
Ritalin. Have you ever tried
Ritalin? Right into?
No, I haven't.
Because that's like that is a thing, like academic, like if you need to
focus.
To focus. I've never worked on anything important enough that requires me to
but
sort of
nor
do it.
Maybe have the people that take these things, they just think that they need to take them.
Well, big hours of like studying and stuff. What was your hacks for like getting through study?
Oh, it was really bad. This is why I don't drink coffee. I had Nescafe, but heaps and heaps of it teaspooned into a mug and sugar, the same amount.
Really?
To get through an all-nighter and Red Bull. So I can't drink coffee anymore.
You do CrossFit now or what do you – what sort
no,
of
– No, I just go to the gym.
Go to the gym. Okay, yeah. Great. Has that come later in life or were you always a gym goer?
No, I've never been – that physically active because the job was already active. But I think 2 years ago, Jason and I joined a gym that made us pay just a bit more than we were comfortable. So we actually go.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's the F45 model.
Yeah,
it's just
you pay through the nose, but then you're committed to it.
And we hate the concept of having to pay to go, but it actually nothing else works.
I need to get better at that. Like I'm fine with having a lot of domain name subscriptions and not utilizing them. So it's the trick isn't working for me at the moment.
Well, I've always, because I used to work in gyms, when people would complain about the cost, if the cost is why you go, then that's keeping the accountability. Or if driving to the gym is the only way you'll get there.
Yeah, and you get value from it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is a day then?
This is like not an ad for F45.
No, well, you don't do F45 though, do you?
No, I don't. No.
And so your day now, like what does that look like? Do you have – I want to get to a point where I have a strict routine. I just don't have it. Do you have a routine?
I would love a routine as well.
Do we know anyone with a strict routine?
You have one.
Is it a psychopath?
I think you've said – what did you just say?
She said Tim Ferriss.
Tim Ferriss.
Psychopath, no.
He just experiments with different routines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like selling the routine. I don't know what your routine is. But like I feel like I'm finding little things that are working for me.
Waking up at the same time.
Yeah.
Because your word for the year is consistent, right?
And I have been. Gym every second day regardless.
It's amazing.
Went last night, got home at 8:30.
Mine was – what was mine? Consumption.
Considered consumption or something?
It's
two words.
I'm glad you almost remember his word. I mean, you remembered mine.
No, what was it? Positive – no. Considered? No.
It was considered consumption.
No, it wasn't
considered.
It was something like it because you thought that I was talking about my rubbish, my waste. It was
consumption is.
Yeah, it's not considered. It's very similar to considered. Anyway, boring. But I haven't been that great at the consumption. Like just had Ferrero shares last night, which wasn't very considered.
Oh, chocolate's your nemesis, isn't it?
100% is my nemesis. It's like the thing that it's not even. It's any type of chocolate. Dark or whatever.
That's
so what
me and cheese. Even singles, craft singles.
Same with me.
It's up there with the most expensive cheese.
We had the vintage sliced cheese. that were eating so much. Like you could just eat it as a folded up. And I would like, oh, shit, I accidentally got four slices. It wouldn't
that's worry. Unfortunate.
No, it was perfect. What is your routine? What do you do?
Okay, I try not to set an alarm, but obviously I do. So I like to get 8 hours of sleep.
Have a kid. You don't need to set an alarm. It's great.
I've
every
got
morning.
A cat.
Yeah, the cat.
True.
Yeah.
True.
The cat gives me 3 heads up before I wake up.
Really? So you don't keep the cat like in locked up anywhere?
No. She's free to roam.
Okay.
Yep. Why lock
her? So my cat, which that's her name, MYKAT, yep. I named her. Mum and dad obviously look after her now that it's their cat. But they have to have
still
this.
Still called my cat.
They have to. They've blocked the whole front room as hers. And they've I had a chopping board fall on my foot because when I was leaving work, I'd used the wrong door. And they have to sort of create all of these things so the cat can't get in. Because if they get into, she will just jump on your face and stuff.
Oh, yep.
So your cat's pretty good.
She's pretty good. Yep, she'll jump over you like a rainbow.
Okay.
Yep.
And so you get woken up. So you wake up at what time?
So I get a soft awakening by cat disturbances that don't quite wake me up. And then I generally wake between 7 and 8.30 around that time.
7, 8.30.
And then I put on the kettle. Actually, I've done a story about this. And then I attend to all the orifices. That's what I call it. Sounds a bit vulgar.
Wow.
So I've got an illustration of this. So I put eye drops in because my eyes get really dry overnight. And then I get Q-tips or cotton tips and clean my ears because it feels waxy
in the
morning.
I have so many questions.
And then I blow my nose. And then I drink water. And then I brush my teeth. And then I go to the toilet. And then,
have you got a toilet one as well?
No, that's the toilet metaphor there.
This is a good routine. It's not too out there. It's
normal. Some people don't do every orifice like I do.
Well, that's the title of the show. The eye drops.
Yeah. don't take that out of context as a choice quote.
Choice quote.
Now we'll animate it. It's going to be great.
The eye drops. I don't put them in because I worry that I'll then have a
dependency.
Because Christian Hull, who we had on the show, has a nasal. I was going to say nasal douche, but it's not a douche. It's a nasal spray. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dependency.
Well, I have to because I know my eyes are dry in the morning and my optometrist has drawn a picture for me of what it looks like. Like, regardless, I have this crescent of dryness that looks like a moon shape dryness because I don't blink all the way down to my lower eyelid.
What does that mean?
You can't see it, but if I close my eyes, it doesn't quite touch.
Oh, really?
We could get it in slow-mo on our camera. Yeah, we could get that in super slow.
So after this, we're going to get it on we've got
so
my macro. We've got the macro lens in 100 frames per second.
That would be cool.
Might be able to see it.
All right. I have to do the annoying thing of wrapping this up.
Let's do it. Well, because we need to get this footage.
I'm going
to get
the footage. I've got a meeting in 5 minutes.
Danger Lamb.
And my word's consistent, so I have to make sure I hit the time that I'm telling people.
No, I appreciate it.
It's
Danger Lamb, Kim Lamb, thank you for coming on to the podcast. And we should definitely do this more regularly.
Yeah, if
thanks
you want
for talking to me.
A solid 10, 15 minutes of fun, look at the animations, the 100-day challenge that you did. There's 100 there?
Well,
is that what I went through?
They're illustrated.
Sorry, illustrated? Yeah, illustrated. There's 100 there?
There's 100
yeah,
there.
They're awesome.
I might have removed a few that I didn't like. But
really?
They were too edgy. You regretted them.
The orifice. Me too. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Hi, thank the dailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.
Bye.